You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Josh Weller's Broadway for a mini episode. Everybody,
like a sea shanty.
Assassins with sea shanties. Okay, listen up. So my incredible teacher from college, Charlie Gilbert, came up with the friggin' idea for assassins. How cool is that?
So blew my mind.
Right? And so I thought that we'd have him on the show to talk about it since it's having a revival here in New York. And listen, if you're here in New York, come see shows. It's amazing.
And it's
safe. And if you're not in New York, go see shows. Support your local theaters. Art is so important right now, and as you know, we're all struggling. And with that said, Alan, I need you to Venmo me $50,000, and I can't give it back.
Beep, 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 beep.
Done. Everybody has the right to be happy.
Everybody has the right to Venmo me. Venmo me 50 grand, you'll see what it seems.
All right, Alan, are you ready?
Yes, and now I'm picturing a group of pirate barbershop sea shanty singers.
Get it. We'll debut it in Tampa. I have a theory that everybody in Florida is either a transplant or a descendant of a pirate. So that works.
Yeah.
All right.
One.
You ready, baby? Are you
Let's
ready?
Let's do it.
Let's roll the music.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Josh Swallows Broadway. Today, I'm so excited. Joining me for my mini episode is my college professor, Charlie Gilbert. He's an incredible human, an incredible talent, an incredible teacher. He's also a composer. He's done everything. He's written the shows A Tiny Miracle, Watch the Birdie, Realities, Goose Feathers, A is for Everything, and my personal favorite, Gemini, which premiered at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia, one of my favorite places that I hope comes back one day. Welcome to the show, Charlie Gilbert.
Hey, Josh. Happy to be here. This is exciting.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you, especially because one of my favorite shows you are a part of, and that is Assassins.
That's right. Assassins is having a little moment right now because it opened last weekend at Classic Stage Company, a revival that now marks the 30th anniversary, I think, of the premiere of that show.
Oh, my God. 30 years of Assassins. Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Did you go to the opening?
I did. I was at the opening last weekend. It was very cool. The authors were there. I got to spend a little time with them, and that was exciting.
That's so cool. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was exciting for them too, because what I think is so cool is that, I mean, you basically came up with the idea for Assassins, correct?
That's right. I wrote a musical back in the 1970s, shortly after I got out of graduate school. I wrote a musical, which was called Assassins. It got produced. I was on the staff of a theater company in Pittsburgh at the time, a theater company called Theater Express. And the artistic director there was a classmate of mine from Carnegie Mellon. And I said, I have this idea about a musical about presidential assassins. And lucky for me, he was he liked it. I mean, he was open to far out ideas, had a few far out ideas of his own. And so he said, you write it and I'll put it on.
Wow.
So we actually got to produce my Assassins musical back in 1978 and 79. So back when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
You're like a Stegosaurus played Tom Hanks Booth. It was remarkable. Tell me about your production. I'm so curious.
Well, it was kind of like the musical that Sondheim and Weidman wrote. It was a collage idea. That is, I'd been reading a biography and short portraits of the different presidential assassins, and so I had this idea that I could take their words and their stories and create a kind of collage or a kind of tapestry around them. And it was much more, I think, much more disjointed in a lot of ways than the version that John Weidman came up with in his book for Assassins. But it was the same sort of idea. Actually, the opening scene of my musical was a shooting gallery, which is the same image that John used for the opening of his book for Assassins. And there was a lit up sign in the shooting gallery, and it said, "Hit the prez and win a prize." So that was the one little bit of my show that actually made it intact into theirs was a piece of scenery, a piece of decoration on the scenery. You won't see that in this off-Broadway production at Classic Stage. Ms. John Doyle, who directed this production, is not big on scenery. So there's no actual shooting gallery.
Well, then I'm not going to go see it. Screw it.
Well, there's so many other things to go and see in this one that are amazing. But in mine, we had that shooting gallery. And in my musical, we had I created a fictitious assassin who was kind of meant to tie everything together. And who he kind of modeled on Lee Harvey Oswald, right? So Oswald was not a character in my musical, but I wrote this fictitious character whose life had a lot of kind of elements from Oswald's life, and who at the end shoots the president, which was really meant to be evocative of the Kennedy assassination. So I think in a way, my musical had that Kennedy assassination as its climax too. That for me was, a really iconic moment. Of course, I was a kid in the early 1960s when Kennedy was assassinated. So I have a memory of that, so that was the kind of culmination of the story, such as it was in my musical as well. But there were a lot of crazy things. There were singing FBI agents, and there was somebody who was a kind of a statistical psychologist who was trying to use computers to predict who the next assassin would be, or to model the typical assassin, and a lot of wacky stuff in it. But the main things, like Charles Guiteau and Booth and Squeaky Frome and so on, they were all characters in my musical too. And this idea that you could take these characters from different eras, different time periods, and bring them all together in one place through the medium of theater and fantasy was kind of central to the idea of my musical. And nice. I think that was the thing that Sondheim and Weidman were so intrigued by when they read it.
Wow. So did they not come to see it?
No. It was it happened in Pittsburgh in the dead of winter in January.
Who doesn't love Pittsburgh in the dead of winter?
No, I know, but it's absolutely a tourist destination. But they were tied up with something else at the time, I guess, Sweeney Todd or something frivolous like that.
Never.
Anyway,
heard of it.
Sondheim read it because I submitted it as a kind of a portfolio piece. I was trying to get into a program in the early 1980s that was pairing up young writers, which I still was at that point, and mentors. He was a prospective mentor for this program. And so my script made the rounds, and he read it in that context. And I never really knew who had read it or who had seen it. I knew I was a finalist. And then I knew that that mentoring program never happened. It never got off the ground. So they returned my stuff to me, and I, you know, put Assassins on the shelf and kind of went on to do other things, write other things, and that, and you know, start to raise a family. This is all pre Philadelphia, pre UArts at this point in the 1980s, and then, as they say, then one day I went to the mailbox and there was a letter from Stephen Sondheim, one of those short kind of casual notes that he sends, and it said, I'm wondering whatever happened to that musical of yours, because I love the idea of it, and I wanted to know if you would consider letting me, you know, and a collaborator take your idea and work on it and develop it. So, I mean, imagine I kind of fell on the floor in surprise, yeah, and then got up off the floor and wrote back and said, sure, let's talk about it. Why don't we collaborate? I think I summoned up my nerve. I thought, well, this is the only chance I'm going to get to pitch this idea. He said, no, that's all right. I've got somebody in mind. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is John Wiedman. and of course I was a huge fan of Pacific Overtures from the 1970s. That was a show that both me and Bill Turner, the artistic director who gave the green light to Assassins, directed at Maya's musical Assassins. We were both very big on Pacific Overtures and very intoxicated with that. So of course I knew John Wiedman and thought he was the perfect guy for it. And so off they went to work, and I had a chance to come to New York and meet with them. Went to the townhouse, the famous townhouse on Turtle Bay, and sat and chatted about the idea with them, and then they wrote what they wrote.
That's remarkable. It's one of my favorite shows ever, and you know, and also I think, like, out of everybody I know, you know musical theater the best as far as writing, as far as performing, directing, and to be a part of such incredible theatrical history is remarkable.
It is. I mean, what were the odds, Josh? I was thinking about this last week and kind of in the run-up to seeing Steve and John on Sunday, to think what were the odds that any of this could have happened, and then that on top of that, what they created turned out to be what, in my mind, is one of the best musicals of the you know, ever. You know, people say what is your favorite musical, and I answer Assassins, not because it was my idea, but because it's an awesome thing. In so many ways, it embodies what I love about the musical theater, that it is, it deals with complicated, unsettling ideas. It really challenges how you look at the world and how you think about things. It's also really clever and funny in places. It's really smart in some places. And then it has a surprise. I mean, in the last 15 minutes, the scenes at the end of it are such an amazing surprise as well. Yeah. So that it's really an awesome piece of work. So that they wrote that, and that it was well received, and then it's become really part of the repertory now. It's done all over the world. You know, London, Australia. People send me programs and posters from different places around the world where it's been done, and now 30 years later it's back in New York again.
Remarkable. I really want to see it. The last time I saw it was the 2004 revival, or was it 2003?
Right. No, that was 2004 at Roundabout.
It was phenomenal. Now, what inspires you, I guess, as a composer, as a writer, as an artist?
Well, I love making work, new work that somehow takes material from the past and merges it with the present in different ways. A lot of the projects that I've worked on, if they have something in common, it's that ideas that they're a little bit old and a little bit new as well, you know. And so I've been lucky that I've had a couple of interesting projects that came to me. Or that were brought to me. Gemini, the musical, was, of course, Albert Inarritu's play, in the late 1980s. And that particular project I chased after because it was set in South Philly, and I was living in South Philly, and I knew Albert's play. I knew the folks at the Prince Music Theater, and I thought, well, if here's a chance for, you know, here's a chance for all the stars to align. So I really I campaigned for that project. I wrote some stuff on spec for that project, and eventually was able to get that work get that work produced. But what excited me about Gemini was that it was all different kinds of, there were all different kinds of music in the language of the world of Gemini. Of course, Francis loves opera, but in South Philly, that's a place where there's jazz and doo-wop and popular music. And so it just seemed to me there was an opportunity to write all kinds of music do some different things there, different and unusual things there. But again, it's a challenging work. It's a funny work. It's a smart work. I'm drawn to projects like that where you can have something that involves your head and something that involves your heart as well.
Yeah, I loved the show. Of course, it featured some of my favorite, you know, performers, Jeremiah Downs, Jillian Lewis, and my beloved Todd Buonapane, who just came on the show. Remember. Isn't he brilliant?
He was great as Herschel in that original production. Todd was great, and he's done well since then. I'm so happy for him that he's done as well as he has.
We actually met at the Barrymore Awards that year, in 1874. And we've been very, very close ever since. Now, another thing that I want to bring up, because you've taught countless amounts of, beautiful performers. You've enriched so many people, and you have a relatively new program, The Savvy Singing Actor.
Yeah, that's right. Towards the end of my time at UArts, as you know, I just retired from teaching after 30 years at the University of the Arts. I started the musical theater program there and taught many wonderful young artists, yourself included, and it was really fulfilling to do that. But particularly in like the last 10 years of my teaching, I wanted to pull some of the things that I had developed in the studio that seemed to be particularly effective and write it down and get it to a place where I could begin to pass it on to people outside of UArts. So I did publish a book 2 years ago, The Savvy Singing Actor. I've been doing some online instruction with Savvy, and I created a thing called Savvy Cards, which is also part of what I teach in the book as a tool that people can use in the practice room and in the rehearsal room. And I've actually been getting a lot of enthusiastic response to Savvy Cards from people who are voice teachers who are working with young singing actors. So I've gotten a great response to this, and as people discover this, really, people all over the world have been reading the book, responding to the book, and now more recently doing some online classes as well with that.
That's amazing. Well, I really want people to check that out. The website is savvysingingactor.com. Savvy spelled S-A-V-I. singingactor.com. It's incredible. I have the cards myself. I think, one of the hardest things, at least for me to learn, was, yes, I can sing. And finally learning, like, anybody can sing a song, but how do you perform it? How do you act it? How do you make it more than just singing? And I think that your program is remarkable and will help with that. And plus, if you study the Savvy technique, you are a part of theater history. I mean, assassins, come on. Charlie, thank you for coming on to the show.
Oh,
I adore you.
Same here. We have to do Sitzprobe again soon.
Yes! Yes! Our thing has always been Sitzprobing. It's just been our connection.
Our little secret, yes.
Oh, God. Remember we did a frog, a year with Frog and Toad
at
the Arden Theater?
And the amazing sequel, The Dinosaur Musical.
Oh, right. We did The Dinosaur Musical. The Dinosaur Musical.
Slipped from your memory, Josh.
All I remember is playing a fucking dinosaur, and we had these huge tails that clipped onto us, and the stage manager, John Flack, at like 9:30 in the morning, yelling, "Put your tails on! Put your tails on!" And if I was a dinosaur, I would have eaten him. It's too early to put a tail on.
Yes. I don't think it was ever a good time to put a tail on.
Well, I adore you. I really appreciate everything that you've given me in my life and countless others. I was just working with Lucas Steele before time. And we had a lot of fond memories of you. And
great to
you're
hear.
Remarkable. And thanks for helping make Assassins.
Okay. Well, thanks, Josh. Thanks for all those warm words. And I'm just thrilled to see how well things are going for you. You're a podcast celebrity.
Oh, yes. I haven't cried in years. Well, everybody go check out Assassins. They've extended. There are some tickets available right now. The cast is phenomenal. You've got Ethan Slater, Broadway darling Judy Kuhn, my baby boy Will Swenson, Wes Taylor, everybody, hands down, it's a remarkable company. And check out SavvySingingActor.com. It's brilliant. And also, thank you for supporting the show. You can continue to at www.patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. All right. Much love and thanks for being here. Bye. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive, and swallow you soon.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUPS. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, SUPS celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. SUPS has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.